Hello everyone, welcome to Newport and City Church of Scotland. I have a wee announcement to ask our congregation. We have the Newport Festival coming up. Ooh, come on. Ooh. Is everybody sleeping today? We have the Newport Festival coming up. Ooh. There we go. Like last year, we have got a welfare tent set up that we're going to do. If those who weren't here last year, it's basically us as a church offering juice, water, tea, coffee to people who are about. Have a wee first aid station for people to come and sort themselves out and some sunscreen because it's going to be hot and sunny. It is, isn't it? And if it's not, we're going to pray. That's going to be that. And it's just going to be out in the church grounds. So I have a wee sign-up sheet. We're asking for 4 volunteers for every hour. You can do more than 1 hour. Don't let that stop you. Between 10 and 4, and they're set up before and closing afterwards. So if you are interested in helping to run this welfare tent, please come speak to me. The more volunteers we get, the less you have to do. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. We gathered this morning to rejoice in God's love, to enjoy the fellowship of Jesus, and to acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether this is the first time that you've been here with us, or the first time since the last time, and whether you're on Zoom from the wilds of Teaport or Wormit or Broughty Ferry or elsewhere, or whether you are listening online, and I'm told there is one person at least going to be doing it this week, welcome. A very warm welcome to this Trinity Sunday service. For our call to worship this morning, Trinity Sunday, I chose something from this book, Carmina Galatica. It's an anthology of prayers and hymns from the Gaelic tradition. In the name of the Father, in the name of Son, in the name of Spirit, 3 in 1. Father, cherish me. Son, cherish me. Spirit, cherish me. 3 all kindly. God, make me holy. Christ, make me holy. Spirit, make me holy. 3 all holy. 3, aid my hope. 3, aid my love. 3, aid mine eye. And my knee from stumbling. My knee from stumbling. Let's worship God. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 213, hymn 213 in the hymn book, Every New Morning God Gives Us Freely. In Romans we read, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice today that you care for each one of us, that we matter so much to you, that you want to share with us your gift of life and lead us into a living, loving relationship with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise. God of grace, we bless you for expressing your love so wonderfully in Christ, through his birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his glorious exaltation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise. God of power, we thank you. Thank you for continuing to bless us each day through your Holy Spirit, nurturing our faith, renewing our vision, guiding our footsteps. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise. God of all three in one and one in three, we praise you that you have called us to be your children, your friends, your people, and you are always with us, your love surrounding us wherever we may be, whatever we face. Receive now our worship offered to you in awe and wonder, in joy and in thanksgiving. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise. Receive our praise as we join together as a family of your church, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, Chris and others, I have to say, are going to lead the children this morning. So be prepared for anything.
Can we have all our children and young people up to the front, please, and come grab a seat? I'm the youth worker, so you got to come. That's the rule. So, can I have Michaela and Callum to come to the front, please? Yes, you two. I know. Face the congregation. Where were you 2 weekends ago?
SU camp.
And can you remember where it was?
Near Aviemore.
Near Aviemore, yes. And can you remember the theme that we did?
Paul?
Yeah, Paul was the teaching, which we're going to do for you today. But can you remember the theme? What have I said? Contenders.
Gladiators.
Right, okay. Who here has seen Gladiators, the new TV show? Put your hands up. Yeah, okay. Who's seen the original TV show? Yeah, okay, me showing your age there. For the congregation, which one is better? Hands up if you think the original was better. Okay, hands up if you think the new show was better. Go on. Everyone? Oh, some people think. Okay, so we had a wee theme called Contenders Ready, and we were looking at a story called Paul, and we thought we'd act it out for you today. So, Michaela, over there is your centurion sat and sword. You want to go grab it? And over there, Cal, there's a coat and a wig and some chains for you as Paul. Now, everybody else, yes, all of us, we're going to be the passengers on the ship, so you're going to follow my lead, okay? Think you can do that, children? Yep. And Charlotte and Stuart, you're going to be our islanders up there, so can you go stand up there, please, and sit. Well, you can sit down up there. We're not there for you yet. These are your chains, because you're a prisoner, Paul. Oh, this is it. It's not like you've not done this before, even you're on Bible Live with us. There you go. Right. Chains, strap them round. Thank you. Who would like to have the other oar? Come on, Lewis, out you come. And everyone else, all the children, come up here as well. Come on, come over here. Okay, there you go. Right, okay. Right, all stand all the way over there. Stand all the way over there. How is your rowing action? Can we see your rowing action? Can you see your rowing action? Right, okay. So we have Peter. Hi, Peter. You are a prisoner, so you're on the ship. And Michaela is our Julius. And you are in charge of all the prisoners, which is us. So can you be in charge? Be mean. Be mean. Come on, let's see your mean face. That's it. Come on over. Okay. Let's kick it off. We are all on a ship. Have you all been on a ship before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can be a little bit rocky, right? Can be a little bit rocky. Can we go side to side? At the moment, it is quite calm. And we are heading towards Rome. Rome is over there, okay? That is our end goal. Because Paul, was captured, and we requested to go to Rome as his right as a Roman citizen, so that he wasn't persecuted anymore. So Paul was put in a boat with all the other prisoners, and we were set sail to Rome, and we were under the charge of Julius. And we started to set sail. So let's do your rowing action. Stay behind me. Oh, 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 and stop here. And we arrived at a port called Sidon. And Julius, who liked Paul very, very much, said, on you go and go see your friends and be encouraged. So you just go off into the choir and encourage them. There we go. And as Paul did that, we were all just chilling in the boat. It's been nice, calm seas, the easiest ferry crossing you'll ever have. Don't worry, it'll change. And then Paul came back, greatly encouraged. And then we set off sail again. We see Cyprus over there. Cyprus is over there. And then round the corner of Turkey and down here. And stop. And we stop here at a dock of Sinaitis. And it was still an easy crossing. And then we started to set sail again to Fairhaven and Crete. Oh, we're going this way. Let's see your rowing action. Oh, 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 oh. And at this point, as we're setting sail, the wind's picked up. Oh, it's getting a little bit rocky. Can we row side to side? Move to side to side. Oh, oh, that's it, Caleb. That's exactly it.
No.
We're not there yet. And we made dock at Fairhaven on Crete. And this port, unfortunately, was unsuitable to hold us for winter. Oh, no. And Paul, at this point, warned everyone in the boat, basically this, and I've paraphrased this, this voyage is going to end in disaster. We are going to lose the ship and the cargo. But the crew didn't listen. You didn't listen, did you? And you went, it doesn't matter, Paul, we're going to Rome. So we set off the next day, aiming for Phoenix. And then we were hit by a really strong wind, a hurricane. Move about. Oh, oh, oh. And we got to the third day, and we dropped all our cargo and everything. And we just let the boat take us away. So we were like, he's still in this hurricane, we're still going backwards and forwards. Oh, it was getting really sickly. Have you ever had seasick before? You go, bleh, bleh. And eventually, Paul, really hungry, stood up and went, this. See, I told you so. We shouldn't have set sail. Gee, thanks, Paul, for being so helpful. He then said, be courageous. Only the ship will be destroyed, not us. We're on the ship. How are we not going to get hurt either? The ship's going to go, but we're going to be all right. Do you believe that? No, you're like, we're on the ship. How can we do that? But Paul was like, don't worry, I saw an angel, he'll keep us safe. Because I need to stand trial to see Caesar in Rome. Nevertheless, we must run aground and be shipwrecked on some island. So the winds kept going for a fortnight. We're getting really sick. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then we're going to land aground on Malta. So land on there. Land on there. Okay. Oh, what a terrible crossing. Oh, I feel sick already, and I wasn't actually doing it. After a fortnight, can you imagine being on a ship for a fortnight, being really sick? How would you feel? Would you feel really rough? You would feel fine. Okay, you'd feel happy that we made ship. But there was 276 people on this shipwreck, and every single person made it because God protected us. And at this point, the locals, hi, locals, hi. Lovely, smiley people showed us kindness, and they brought us food, they made a fire. And Paul, where are you, Paul? You go and collect some firewood. And as he's collecting firewood, a snake, deadly snake, jumped up and bam! And it's really sore and it's really painful and it's all that. And Paul just went, nah, it's fine, shook it off and threw it into the fire because God protected Paul, right? And Paul went to the chief official named Publius. Stand up, Publius. You are the ruler of all of Malta. Congratulations. Congratulations. And he invited all of us in to feed us for 3 days. And he realized Paul's father is sick. So can you lie down, please? Deadly sick. You're going to die otherwise. And then Publius is like, please, Paul, help us. And Paul went, sure, no problem. So Paul went over to Publius's dad and laid hands on him and prayed. And Publius' father jumped up and was healed. Woo! Yeah. And the islanders were amazed by all the good things that we did, that Paul did, and that God did on them, that when we set sail 3 months later, they gave us everything that we need to set sail to Rome. So everyone stand up, and we're going to set sail to Rome. Up we go, up we go, up we go, up we go, up we go. And we made it to Rome. Woo! Congratulations. Well done, we made it to Rome. Come on, we made it to Rome. Woo! Yeah! Great. Cool. Was that a bit fun? Yeah. Right. So what strikes me about this story about Paul is the people on the ship had to go a really long way, didn't they? Like a really long way across the Mediterranean Sea. And they had a destination in mind, didn't they? Where was the destination? Rome, right? So they weren't to get to Rome. Now, the easiest way from Israel to Rome is a straight line, didn't they? But they had to go up and round and all around, didn't they, to avoid the stuff. And it kind of reminds me about our Christian lives. We have a destination in mind as Christians, and that is heaven. But we might not necessarily know how to get there. Is that right? What we learned in camp is this. Some of us are just starting setting off sail. We're just about ready. We're like, yes, we're a new Christian. Woo! Everything's great and cheery. Some of us are setting sail and really calm seas and everything is good. Some of us, like the light winds, the wind is taking us slightly, but we're staying still and we're staying course and we know and we're fine because God has got us. And then other times, like the big hurricane storm, we just let the storm take us and we're struggling a wee bit. And in other times, we get shipwrecked and we have to start over again. The one difference is, despite where you are in that story of life, is that God is with you, no matter where you are. And he's got you, and he'll protect you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. So even if you're in the storms of life, with the hurricanes and storms, or even if you're in nice sailing waters, or even if you're shipwrecked, God is with you. Yeah. Does that make sense? Cool. Awesome. So our next song, which I know you've all got great singing voices because I've heard you at Messy Church, okay, is hymn number 194, This Is The Day, and the words will be up on the screen.
Don't go anywhere. I've got to say something. Thank you very much. Can we say a wee prayer just now, please? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the message that wherever we travel, you will be with us. You are here with us all the time. You love us and you care for us. Thank you very much for that, Father. Amen. Thank you very much for being so brilliant. I have to tell you, I have to tell folk, that Chris phoned up and said, I'd like to do this, The Last Road to Rome. Well, the choice was either that or me explaining the concept of the Trinity. So I think I got the right decision. Thank you very much.
Our first reading this morning can be found on page 558 of the Pew Bibles and is also projected on the screen above me if you wish to follow it. It is Psalm 29, a Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the deserts of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in all the temple all cry, All glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Our second reading can be found on page 1065 and is John chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to 17. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man called Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We continue our worship now by singing hymn 2, O Righteous Lord, You Set Me Right.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, through your word and spirit, you created all things. In Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, you reveal your salvation in all the world. Through your Holy Spirit, you gave us a share in your life and love. Keep us firm in this faith and fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may serve and praise you all your days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now, before I go any further this morning, two things. I have a question. It's about football, And before we disappear down any rabbit holes, the question is rhetorical, but you can raise your hand. How many of you can remember the 1994 World Cup? One? Two and a half. Okay, I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all that it's not much remembered. For a start, none of the home nations qualified, and it was hosted by the United States. And there's one and only one thing that I remember clearly about that particular World Cup. At almost every game, colourful placards were held up by folk in the crowds. And on the placards were written John 3:16. Wonderfully, typically American, instantly recognisable, and at the same time, for many millions watching round the globe, completely baffling. For those in the know, it was obvious, of course, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 has been called everybody's text. That's no small claim, but it does have so much of importance to tell us. John 3:16 tells us that the origin of all our hope for the future, our hope for eternal joy, lies with God. A God who reached out to the world in love and compassion. His heart was full. He had decided that as his greatest gift to the world, he would send his Son. God, who is love, sending his love in human form. This is the message which should be front and centre of all that we do in his name. God sent his Son so that we were given an example of service, of sacrificial, loving service. Through Jesus, we are able to approach a God who cares for and loves us all. Through Jesus, we are called to show that love and to extend that love and that loving service to all. A wonderful, joyful picture. Contrast it with something which sadly is not unknown. How often are we drawn a picture of a God who is angry? A God who expects an unyielding, legalistic adherence to his demands? A God who needs to be pacified? A God who needs to be persuaded to forgive? A God who was seemingly well intent on condemnation? And often at the same time, Jesus is presented as having done something, something which actually changed God's attitude to the world. That something Jesus did changed God's attitude from one of condemnation to one of forgiveness. This verse is quite clear. Everything started with God. He sent Jesus because he loved the world and all the people in it. At the front and centre of everything is the love of God. This verse tells us that the motivation of God is love. How often do we hear, or people hear, of a God looking down on the world with all its human failings and being warned to expect punishment? One fairly recent example that I picked up was about COVID. Apparently, the story goes, it was sent by God as a warning to the world. Can anyone truly believe that God picked on the elderly, those in care homes, those who survived cancer, as a punishment or as a warning to the rest of the world? That those people who were most affected by COVID were deliberately selected by God? God does not look down on the world and say, I will punish them until they obey my commands. If that were true, that it's easy to imagine a God who is only interested in its own power and domination. For a God who wants a world of living puppets, puppets who dance when he pulls the strings. The joyous news in this verse from John's Gospel is that we see God working not for his sake, but for our sake. God wants us to join him freely and unreservedly. He's not trying to force us or frighten us or blackmail us. Through Jesus, he offers us the chance to know him completely. Through Jesus, he offers us the right to learn, the right to choose, and the right to follow. It was to satisfy his love that he sent his son, Jesus. God is a God who will be happy when all people are brought into the center of his family, a family where all are loved equally, a family where all are treated with care and compassion. God yearns for that, and he is keen to gather us all in, where his kingdom on earth truly becomes a heavenly kingdom. We learn from this verse the true width of the love of God. It is the world that God loves. It's not just those who know him already. It's not just the great and the good of society. It's not just a single nation. It is the whole world. It's the homeless, the refugees, the criminals, the unloved, those forgotten and rejected by the world, but recognized in the heart of a caring and loving God. God loves all people equally, and that includes the people who have never heard of him, those who have turned their back on him, those whose actions have put them beyond the normal boundaries of society. As we so often sing in Martin Hagen's hymn, the outcast and the stranger bear the image of God's face. All are included in the true, in the width of the love of God. All wonderful and true. Let's move us on then to the next verse, John 3, verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here, is it possible that the fourth gospel has presented us with a paradox? In verse 16, we have heard of the great love of God. In verse 17, we are confronted by visions of judgment, of condemnation, of punishment. John has just said that God so loved the world that he sent his son into it. But in John chapter 9, verse 39, we can read Jesus claiming, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who are blind will not." Can it be possible that both things are true? Consider a moment the opportunity for someone to experience something, an experience which is meant to bring joy, pleasure, maybe even love, and yet for that experience to turn out to be something completely different, a judgment and maybe even a condemnation. Apologies, I am going to have to mention football again. The last time I visited a national football stadium, Hampden Park in Glasgow, Scotland lost. They'd scored three great goals, but in what has become a bit of a tradition, they still contrived not to win. After the game and on the way back to the bus, I declared, "Imagine Scotland losing to that rubbish. I'm never coming back here again." I have to tell you, that rubbish contained at least three of the all-time great players. They also went on to win the World Cup that summer. I've here in brackets 1966. Guess who they got that wrong? It's easy for me to find excuses that other things got in the road. But it was nobody else's decision but mine. I had set my heart never to return to Hampden Park, never have. The opportunities which I had to learn from experience, to return and to develop something which I enjoyed, were spurned. It was my judgment and nobody else's. There is a story of a tourist visiting one of the world's great art galleries, a gallery whose walls were lined by some of the greatest paintings of all time. As the visit ended, the tourist got a hold of the guide. "Frankly, I don't think much of your old paintings." The guide quietly answered, "Sir, I would remind you that these paintings are no longer on trial, but those who look at them are." In much the same way, when someone turns his back on God, God does not cease to love that person. Quite the opposite, God looks for ways to show that person the right way to live. It was that person's choice. There's no judgment here from God, only a desire to see a lost sheep brought back into the fold. God wants his people to live in the light, not in the darkness. At the very beginning of this morning's gospel reading, Nicodemus approached Jesus. Nicodemus commented that no one could help but be impressed by the signs and the wonders that Jesus did. The answer from Jesus was not that these miraculous signs were the important thing. The most important thing was that there would be a change in that person's life, a change that came about not by any judgment other than their own, a change so complete and radical that that person became like a new being. It would be change brought about by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit entering into that person's life. In his letter to Romans, chapter 8, Paul tells us the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to encourage and to strengthen a person's relationship with God. This assures us that we are all God's children, and by that, we are all loved by God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working together in love, encouraging us to share that message and to show the world that love. Amen. Let us pray. Great and wonderful God, Father, Son, and Spirit, give us this morning a sense of your greatness and your gentleness, a glimpse of your otherness and your nearness, an awareness of your eternal purpose, a purpose that spans creation, yet includes us all here and now. Amen. We continue our worship by singing together hymn 112 in the hymn book, God Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
We come firstly to our prayers of dedication. Let us pray. Father, for those gifts of yours which make us what we are, for talents of mind and eye and hand, for every opportunity to be of service, for those who love us and cherish us, for those whom we value as friends and neighbours, Lord, from our hearts, we thank you. Give us grace, we pray, to accept your gifts joyfully and use them generously to your glory and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We come to our prayers for ourselves and others. I have a response. If you're comfortable when I say, Lord, in your mercy, please feel free to respond with, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father, let us pray for the church, a church that reaches across 2,000 years and spans the continents of the world today. Let us pray for guidance, encouragement, and a genuine awareness of the immense privilege of belonging to the people of God. Let us ask God to fill his church with the Holy Spirit, that we may be equipped to follow him in the way he deserves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church as it seeks to respond to the questions and the problems of the world. We pray for your wisdom and guidance as we seek to speak your name before a watching, waiting world. Allow us to hear your voice through your word, through our study, through our prayers, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be more equipped to answer the fears, the worries, and the deep concerns of those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the witness of the church, for its service to those in need of help, care, and support, for its plans for mission and for sharing the message of Christ, that everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit, that the right words are spoken, offering the wonderful message of hope and love in the name of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray indeed for those in need of the hope and joy of the good news we have to share, for those who are lonely and those who are alone, for those whose lives are filled with fear and frustration, for those under pressure at home or at work, and for those who feel they cannot cope any longer, for those being crushed by the sheer strain of living, and for those whose lives are drifting further and further from God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we ask especially that your hand be over our nation, at this time leading up to the general election. Bless all the candidates striving for a place in the Parliament at Westminster, that they may be able to campaign without harm, that the debate may be robust but respectful, that all may realise that holding a different view is actually a sign of a healthy democracy. May the Holy Spirit inspire the best of motives. May our votes be cast in a spirit of tolerance, inclusion, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask these prayers in the name of Christ, our guide and friend. Amen. I have this big bit of paper because I realised that our youth worker pinched my order of service at the beginning of the service. Luckily, I had this in big print. So our final hymn this morning is hymn 113, 113 in hymn book, God the Father of Creation. our service here is ended, and we journey out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love, and the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and those whom we love, now and always.